The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Our beloved Master sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has stated, anyone who recites 50 times durood upon me every day, on the day of judgment, I will shake hands with him. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once Huzur sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam asked sahaba kiram alayhim ar-ridwan, you know who is the pauper? Sahaba kiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum replied that Ya Rasulullah, according to our understanding, pauper is that person who doesn't have any means of this world. Huzur sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam replied, the biggest pauper in my ummah is that person who will come on the day of judgment with lot of salas, psalms and zakats. But at the same time, in this world, he had put blame on someone. He had eaten someone's wealth unlawfully, and he had shed the blood as well. And he had hit someone, and then against all these sins, his virtues will be taken away from him. And if his virtues finish, and those who he oppressed in this world, if still oppressed people will be remaining, then the sins of these oppressed people will be put onto him. And then that oppressor will be put into the fire of hell. Dear viewers of Madni channel, what we learn from this Hadith-e-Mubarakah, sometimes sin of someone bring a big trouble for him, and especially on the day of judgment, because of one's sins, one can be thrown into the hellfire. So we make dua that may Allah Azza wa Jal give us tawfiq to save ourselves from committing sins. Our today's silsila is going to be about the sins, inshallah. As in previous silsila we have discussed about sins, inshallah, in this silsila as well, we are going to discuss basically sin, what is sin, and all these things, inshallah, azza wa jal. Mufti sahab, as we commit sins with our apparent limbs, so are there some sins which can be committed from the heart? And if there are some sins which can be committed by heart, so which are those sins? And is it compulsory for us to know them?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As there are some sins belonging to our limbs of body, so there are many sins which are related to our heart as well. So for example, the very basic sin, disbelief, the very basic sin associating partner with Allah Azza wa Jal, the very basic sin hypocrisy. So all these three major sins, I would say the worst sins, belong to heart. Because what is the definition of kufr? Kufr is disbelief, denial of the heart. Heart denies Allah Azza wa Jal to be worthy of worship. Heart denies the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be as a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal. So disbelief is the act of heart, and associating partner with Allah Azza wa Jal, that is also basically the act of heart, because heart considers someone as worthy of worship other than Allah Azza wa Jal. And hypocrisy, so what is the meaning of hypocrisy? Showing belief and hiding disbelief in heart. So the worst major sins belong to heart. So that's why there are many sins which belong to heart. And other than these three major sins, there are many other sins which have connection with heart or which are done by heart. For example, arrogance, jealousy. What is arrogance? Arrogance belongs to heart. Jealousy, jealousy belongs to heart. Envy, a person keeps envy in his heart and showing off. So that is a matter of intention. A person makes intention to show off his worship in front of other people so that the other people can consider him as a pious person. So jealousy, arrogance, envy, and showing off, and unsincerity. So all these sins belong to heart. And these are major sins. Regarding that, Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in many places regarding jealousy, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ, regarding arrogance, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْتَكْبِرِينَ, and regarding envy, and regarding other sins. So there are many places in the Quran and in Hadith in which there are many commandments of Sharia, there are many commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal and the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam regarding the sins of heart. So that's why it is very necessary. Even our pious predecessors like Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh and Ala Hazrat Allah Ta'ala Anhu, so they have written in their books, as it is compulsory upon us to learn the commandments regarding prayer and fasting and zakah and hajj, similarly, it is obligatory upon us to learn the definition of these sins so that we can prevent ourselves from these sins. So that is very compulsory to learn. So that's why, as other knowledge of Sharia is compulsory to learn, similarly, the knowledge of these sins is compulsory to learn.
Ramutsab, takabbur was the first sin which was committed by Shaitan, and because of that takabbur, he was rejected. So what are the harms of takabbur for a human being? If a Muslim or any human being, he is arrogant, so what are the harms of arrogance?
There are many harms of that. As far as warnings are concerned, which have been narrated regarding takabbur, so there are many. For example, one of them is mentioned in the Holy Quran, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْتَكْبِرِينَ. Almighty Allah doesn't like those people who show arrogance, who are mutakabbirin, who show arrogance. Allah doesn't like them. So that is one of the warnings. And the other, another warning, those people who show arrogance, they will never enter paradise. They will never enter paradise according to the apparent words of hadith. This is the meaning of that hadith. So that is the harms of arrogance. And the apparent harms of that sin is when person has arrogance in his heart. So it affects upon his behavior towards people, his attitude changes towards people, because when a person is considering other people as inferior to him, so then his attitude will change. And that person is considered despicable in the eyes of other people, because when the people know this person considers us as a humiliated people and inferior people, so then they will dislike to him. So it will affect the whole society. As a whole, the society will get disturbed by the arrogance of that person. That person is considering other person as humiliated and as inferior to him, and the other people will consider him as an arrogant person. So when they will consider that person as arrogant person, so they will never respect to that person. So they will never respect that person due to the arrogance of this person, and this person will never respect to those people due to his own arrogance. So arrogance will affect on the both people.
Acha Mufti Sahab, I mean, as you are educating us regarding takabbur and arrogance, what happens that listeners who are listening this thing, or I mean whatever sin or the definition of sin is, you know, given to them, when they are listening, they are thinking that this sin we don't commit. Even arrogant people, they say that there might be some other people who are arrogant, but we are not arrogant. So how would you, meaning, deal with this situation?
That might be the situation of many people, because the people have lack of knowledge. They don't have proper Islamic knowledge, and having this knowledge is missing thing from the life of the people. So when a person doesn't know the meaning of arrogance, so then he will show his arrogance, but he won't be able to understand about him that he is an arrogant person. So the first compulsory thing to learn Islamic knowledge regarding that, and this is not the matter of only this sin. This is the reality of many other sins as well. For example, showing off has a vast meaning. There are many hidden things in that. people show off their worships and they demand respect from the people, they demand thanks from the people on their worships, on their good behavior, on their good deeds. They don't know this is one kind of showing off, and that showing off is haram. Even we know, particularly the politicians and those rich people and those popular people who do something. So after doing that, they demand to print their photo on paper. They need publicity, and they use that good deed for their worldly benefits. So that is totally showing off, but they don't know. They consider that it is our right to be popular on the behalf of that good deed, because we have done that, so that's why the people should give us popularity. And they don't know this is showing off, and against that they will never get any reward in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that is a matter of ignorance, basically. And in many ways the people have ignorance regarding many other sins, even regarding jealousy, even regarding envy, even regarding impatience, even regarding not paying gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. So how many sins are very common among people, but they don't know the definition of those. Even, for example, these are the matters of heart. Okay, heart is a hidden thing. So there might be some, some misunderstanding or some lack of knowledge regarding that. But what about backbiting? Backbiting is a sin of our tongue, and that is done by tongue. How many people they are committing that sin day and night? Apparently, whenever they meet any other person, they start backbiting other people. So they are committing that sin without any fear and fright, and they don't consider that as sin. They say, we can utter these words in front of that person. Even in front of that person, we can utter these words. So when we have that dare in our heart to say these words in front of that person, so what about in the absence of that person? So that's why we are discussing that person, and we are mentioning his evils and his some bad things. So that's why it is not backbiting. So when the people are ignorant about backbiting, about blaming, about many apparent sins, so what about the sins of heart?
Acha Mufti Sahab, in a Muslim's life, the most dangerous thing is, you know, committing sin or disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. So when sins are so destructive, so it means that it is also compulsory for a Muslim to know about sins or to have knowledge about sins. So is it compulsory upon every Muslim to know about sins?
I would say there are three kinds of sins. There are some sins which don't occur to some people. For example, not paying zakah is a sin. Okay, disobedience to parent is a sin. Not performing hajj is a sin. But that person, zakat is not due upon him. So there is no need to learn the commandment of zakat for that person. If hajj is not obligatory upon a person, then for that person there is no need to learn the commandments regarding hajj. If a person is orphan, his parents have passed away, so now there is no need to learn the commandments regarding the rights of parents. Okay. So there are some sins which don't occur to some certain people. So for these people, there is no need to learn the commandment though. But if they learn the commandments of Sharia regarding those sins as well, so they will get the reward of learning Islamic knowledge. Okay, that is the first thing. The second thing, the other kind of the sin is, there are some sins every human being knows. For example, killing someone, snatching something, theft. And so these kind of sins are very obvious. Every person knows whether he's Muslim or non-Muslim. And some sins which are known to every Muslim. For example, backbiting. The basic about backbiting, they know that backbiting is not allowed in Islam, that is haram. And there might be some other sins. For example, not offering prayer, not performing hajj, not paying zakah. That is a sin, that is a major sin. So every Muslim knows, because these are the pillars of Islam, and when person is not fulfill the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal and he is not offering these worships, so it means he is committing sin. So these kind of sins, when everyone knows regarding that, so now there is no need to learn the basic definition of that, because the people know that. But there might be some minute details of those sins as well which are needed to be learned. For example, consuming the wealth of an orphan. that is a very open sin, everyone knows very well. But there are some kinds of, there are some detail of that sin which common people don't know. For example, in Soyam, in Chalisma, these kind of things which are held among Muslims, the people attend Soyam of a person, and in the inheritance of that person there is an orphan, and the wealth of that orphan is used in those fruits, in those khatam, and these people are eating that, that is haram. So though the people know the basic commandment of Sharia regarding the wealth of an orphan, consuming that is haram, but because they don't know the detail of that, that's why they get engaged in that and they commit that sin due to their ignorance. So learning those detail is compulsory upon the people. That is the second kind. The second kind is those sins which are very obvious, which are known to every Muslim. So for these sins, in most of the cases, there is no need to learn the basic of that sin, but the detail of that sin is needed to be learned. The second thing. The third thing, there are some other sins which are not very known to every Muslim. Only that person can know that who has learned Islamic knowledge, who is habitual of reading Islamic books, who is habitual of asking questions from scholars, and that field is also very vast, because Islam is an ocean of knowledge. And regarding sins, how many sins are major sins and how many sins are minor sins, what are the definition of those sins, and what is the detail of those sins, so it has a vast topic, it has a vast detail. So for those details, it is compulsory to learn for every person, because the person who knows these sins, he can prevent himself from that sin, he can keep him away from that sin. But if he doesn't know the knowledge of that sin, so he might be indulged in that sin due to his ignorance. So these are three kinds of sins. The first sins, which are, there is no need to learn those because the people doesn't have any relation with that, because those sins will not occur to that person. The second kind, which is known to every Muslim. The third kind, which are unknown to common people and they need learn regarding those sins. So these are the three kinds, and it is necessary to learn those sins in which the person can commit.
Dear viewers of Madhi Channel, what we learned from the beautiful answer of Mufti Sahab, that there are three kinds of sins and it is compulsory for us to learn about them. And the best way to learn about these things, many books published by Maktabatul Madina and especially the Madani Muzakaras of Amir Ahl Sunnat, you will find really ocean of information and knowledge in the beautiful Madani Muzakaras conducted by Amir Ahl Sunnat Damat Barakatuhul Aliya. So please make intention of watching Madani Muzakaras whenever you have opportunity. Then as for the sins which belong to our heart, then there is a beautiful silsila by the name Hidden Diseases that is also broadcasted on Madani Channel and I think can be viewed on website or on internet as well. Coming back to Mufti Sahab, another thing, there are, you know, lot of philosophies in this world regarding man and place of human being in this world. So what I want to know, that what is the purpose of creation of human being, number one, and number two, what is the place or position of human being in this entire universe?
For other philosophies, I would say Allah Azza wa Jal has answered to those philosophies in a very beautiful way. Allah ya'lamu man khalaq, doesn't know who has created. The one who has created the entire universe and the human being, the jinns, so he knows better than others, because he has created. Allah ya'lamu man khalaq, doesn't know the one who has created. Wa huwa al-latiful khabir, he is latif and he is khabir, he knows everything and he sees everything. So that's why what Allah Azza wa Jal has told us in Quran and told us through the tongue of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is the most appropriate philosophy regarding the creation of human beings and jinns and in the entire creation. Now, what is the purpose of the creation of this world? First of all, Allah Azza wa Jal has said, "Afa hasibtum annama khalaqnakum abasan." Did you think that we have created you aimlessly? There is no purpose of your creation. Do you think that? No. Allah Azza wa Jal has created you purposely, with a purpose. What is that purpose? In another verse, Allah Azza wa Jal repeated the same thing. In another verse, Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ. we haven't created heavens and earth and whatever is in between them just for playing. This is not for playing. This is for a particular purpose. What is that purpose? Then Allah Azza wa Jal said in another ayah, He said, خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He has created life and death so that He judge you who is the best among you in doing good deeds. Who is the best among you in doing good deeds. So that is the purpose of the creation of human being. Then Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned in another ayah, and that is very famous, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have created jinns and human beings just to worship me. That is the main cause of the creation of human beings and jinns. The human being and the jinns have been created for the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah Azza wa Jal will judge us and He will give us a reward and punishment on the behalf of our deed. What we do in this life, Allah Azza wa Jal will give us the return of that. If our deeds are good, then the return would be good. And if our deeds are wrong, then the return would be in the form of punishment. So that is the main purpose of the entire creation, and particularly the creation of human beings and jinns. And what is the status of human being in this entire universe? Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in the Holy Quran, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ. We have created human being in the best form, in the best shape. In the best shape Allah Azza wa Jal has created us. In another verse, Allah Azza wa Jal has said, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَا. And after that, Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَفَضَّ اللَّهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. First, Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We have honored the children of Adam. So the children of Adam means human beings are honored by Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal has rewarded them with honor from His own. So Allah Azza wa Jal honored us. That is the first thing. The second thing, وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. And we have preferred them over many other creations, what we have created. وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ. We have preferred them over many other creations, what we have created. So that is the status of human being in the code of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the third ayah, that is the beginning of human beings on this earth, Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. And remember, when your Lord said to angels, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, I am about to appoint one khalifa on the earth. So human being is the Khalifa of Allah Azza wa Jal. He has some authorities from Allah Azza wa Jal to run the life on this world. So that is the status of human being. So the status of human being, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in the Holy Quran, and the purpose of the creation of human being, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in another ayah, خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The main thing is to do good deeds, not to do bad deeds. Basically, the creation was for judging us our good deed. Because Allah Azza wa Jal said, خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. And the main purpose is to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, and that is the purpose of the creation of human beings and jinns.
JazakAllah Mufti Sahab. Dear viewers of Madhini Channel, during his answer, Mufti Sahab only quoted verses of Quran. It means that if you want to know the philosophy of the life, if you want to know status, position and place of human being in this universe, if you read Quran, you will find answer to your all questions and confusions. You need not to go to other philosophers or philosophy books. Quran contains answer to our every question. Mufti Sahab, just during the answer you made mention of ibadat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. So what is ibadat? What is the definition of ibadat?
The word ibadat, worship, is used in many meanings. Sometimes the word ibadat is mentioned in the opposite of mu'amalat. Mu'amalat means the interactions of the people with each other, as trading, as being employer. So the word mu'amalat is used for those kind of matters, and the word ibadat and worship is used for those matters which belong to only Allah Azza wa Jal, which are special for the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. As we would say, prayer, offering prayer is the right of Allah, and that is one kind of worship. Paying zakah is the right of Allah, and that is one kind of worship. And similarly, hajj and zakat and siyam, fasting. And similarly, remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal and the recitation of the Holy Quran. All these are called ibadat. And on the other hand, the other things which are not like that, they are called muamalat, trading and employment. So in that meaning, the word ibadat is used sometimes. But the basic meaning of ibadat, the definition of ibadat is mentioned in these words, aqsa ghayatil khudu'i wa tadallul, extreme humiliation and humbleness in the code of Allah. That is the right worship, that is the right ibadah. Otherwise, the ibadah is basically extreme humiliation and humbleness in front of someone, whether he is Allah or someone else. But because we are discussing regarding the right worship, the real and the perfect worship, so that is the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. The real worship is the only for Allah Azza wa Jal. For that meaning, aqsa ghayatul khudu'i wa tadallul, the complete surrenderness and the total devotion and submission and total humiliation in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, so that is called ibadat. But it has some detail as well, because that is the basic definition of the word of worship and ibadat. But when we do something for good purpose and with good intention for getting the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, that time that thing which is apparently not the kind of worship, but that gets worship because of our intention and because of our good purpose. For example, we run our business or we do our job somewhere, but if we are doing that job for getting the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, in the sense that we are earning that wealth so that we can spend that wealth in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. If I am earning something, my intention is this, that if I don't have any wealth, then I can't spend anything in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. I can't spend anything over the poor people. I can't fulfill the need of poor people. But I am earning so that I can survive myself, and I can provide some sustenance and some food to other needy people as well. Then I am doing that for getting the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then this earning wealth would be the act of worship as well. If I am eating something, and in eating that food, I am making intention that I am eating that food so that I can get energy, and I can use that energy for the service of Islam. I can use that energy for the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, for offering prayer. For example, in Ramadan al-Mubarak, we eat sahari, we eat iftar. So what is that? Why we eat sahari? Because when we eat sahari, then we can spend our day with comfort and with convenience, and we can fulfill our fasting very easily. So for fulfilling that right of Allah, for completing that worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, we eat sahar. So when we eat sahari for that purpose, that eating sahari gets the act of worship. So in that way, everything what we do for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal with good intention, that gets worship. And in that meaning, Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Holy Quran, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So, O beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ صَلَاتِي, indeed my prayer, وَنُسُكِي, my sacrifice, وَمَحْيَايَ, and my life, وَمَمَاتِي, and my death, لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, is only for Allah, who is the Lord of the entire universe. So, what is that? Prayer is for Allah Azza wa Jal, that is obvious. And our other worships and our sacrificing of animals, that is for Allah Azza wa Jal. But what about the life and death? What in which meaning the life is for Allah Azza wa Jal? Because when we sleep for offering Fajr prayer with khushu and khuzu, then that sleeping would be the act of worship. When we eat something for getting energy for the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, then that eating food would be the act of worship. when we meet our family, our children, our relatives, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah Azza wa Jal has ordered us to behave good with our family, with our parents, with our relatives, with our neighbors. So all these acts would be the acts of worship. So in that meaning, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُوكِي وَمَحْيَايَا وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The meaning of this ayah proves when we do every action of our life for the sake of Allah.
So there are many ibadats, many worships. Namaz is a worship. Zikr is a worship. Tilawat of Quran is worship. And even if you have good intention behind a lawful action or amal, just because of good intention, that lawful amal becomes ibadat as well. What is the best form of ibadat? If one asks, what is the best form of ibadat? So please.
It varies sometimes person to person, and it varies situation to situation. For example, when we say without any restriction, when we discuss this matter in definite meaning, that time we would say the offering prayer
is the best
kind of worship. That is the best kind of worship. But sometimes, for example, when a person is offering prayer, and that time one person is falling into a well, that time leaving prayer is compulsory, and to saving that person is obligatory upon us. So it depends upon the condition. But then without any other condition and restriction, we discuss this matter. So we would say the offering prayer is the best kind of worship. Above that is believe in Allah Azza wa Jal and believe in all the essentials of Islam. That is a basic condition for acceptance of every kind of worship. And after that, offering prayer, then paying zakat, then observing fast, and then performing hajj, then recitation of the Holy Quran, and then other deeds. So there are many kinds of worship which have been mentioned in ahadith. Sometimes there is mention to feed the poor people. To feed the poor people is the best kind of worship. In some places it is said to provide the water to the thirsty person is the best kind of worship. In some ahadith it is said that provide your services to your parents is the best kind of worship. So there are many kinds of worship. As there is one hadith in which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, al imanu bid'un wa sab'una shu'batan. Iman has more than 70 types, more than 70 branches. The best of those, the highest those, is believing in Allah Azza wa Jal, in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in all the essentials of Islam. And the lowest of that is to remove any harmful thing from the path of the people. That is one branch of Iman. Removing the harmful thing from the path of the people is the branch of Iman. And then in the same hadith, it is mentioned modesty. Modesty is one of the central branch of Iman. So that is another branch of Islam. So then in the explanation of this hadith, many scholars have written many books, as with the name of Shu'abul Iman. So with the name of Shu'abul Iman, there are many books available. So in those books, every branch is discussed in complete detail. So in that way, I would say there are many worships, and sometimes one worship is preferred over other. Sometimes the other worship gets preferred over other.
Acha Mufti Sahab, frankly speaking, we come to know that the real purpose of creation of human being is ibadat. But ibadat is very heavy upon nafs as well. Is there any ibadat which is not heavy and burden upon the nafs? Because nafs, you know, runs away from ibadat.
Sometimes the person has to face some difficulty and hardship for performing any kind of ibadat. But human being is human being. Allah Azza wa Jal has created them with energy, with willpower, with many other qualities which are not found in other creations. That's why human being is best of the creation. They are called Ashraful Makhlukat. If they spend their life in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they spend their life in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they fulfill the rights of Allah as well as the rights of the human being, then they will be preferred. They will get excellence over angels. Even over angels, they will get excellence. Why? Because they have willpower, they have energy, and they can do whatever they want to do. So that's why, though there are some difficulties in doing worships, but the person has to face that. other, that's why he gets some reward. In worldly life, we observe without facing any difficulty and hardship, we can't get any worldly benefit and advantage in this life. So what about the rewards of Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of judgment in the paradise? So that's why the people have to face some hardships for getting the reward and for performing worships.
Acha Mufti Sahab, how can one turn the heaviness of ibadat into easiness?
For that purpose, I think first the person, the Muslim, should adopt prayer, invocation, supplication as their weapons. As it is mentioned in one hadith, Addu'a Silahul Mu'min. Invocation is the weapon of a mu'min, is a weapon of a believer. So that's why we should adopt supplications in the code of Allah Azza wa Jal. We should pray in the code of Allah Azza wa Jal, O Allah, please make these worships easy for us. So when we pray in the code of Allah, so it happens sometimes before that we feel that worship very difficult, but after that, that becomes very convenient and very comfortable for us. So adopting invocations, that is very useful. The second thing is, in beginning, in most of the matters which are not befitting with our mood and which is not befitting our nature, our baser nature basically, so we face some problem and we feel inconvenient, in discomfort. But when we do that repeatedly, after a while, after a few days, sometimes after a few weeks, that comes into our habit. For example, the first time when a child is sent to school, so what is his condition? He would say, I will kill those people who will send me to school. I will never go to school. Okay? It happens with many children. In beginning, they say these words, but after that, on holiday, they say, I have to go to school. Because then they get delight of going to school, and they enjoy school life, they enjoy gathering, they enjoy sitting with their friends and playing with them. So that is our, you can say, that is one kind of our nature. It happens to everyone. So in beginning, sometimes offering prayer is considered very difficult, but after a while, when we offer prayer repeatedly, so after a while, alhamdulillah, sometimes it happens. As soon as azan is recited and that is announced, the person immediately go to masjid, and he loves going to masjid, he loves offering prayer, he loves the time in which he can offer prayer in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. So it depends upon our practice. If we practice that again and again, so then inshallah we will develop the love and liking of worship, and that is one of the best way to develop the love and liking of worship. That is the second thing. The third thing is that if we need the reward and the excellence of worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, so that is our nature, that we incline to that thing in which we find some excellence, we find some reward. So sometimes we know when we read the excellences of offering prayer and offering nawafil, when we listen to the reward of offering prayer, for a few days we get a lot of energy, we get a lot of khushu, khuzu, we get a lot of motivation. After a few days we lose that and our motivation disappeared. But commonly we have seen, whenever we listen to the excellences, whenever we read the excellences of offering prayer, so we get motivation and encouragement. So that is a third, the best way to read the excellences of prayer and other worship as well. Whatever worship we read about, so we get motivation regarding that. That is the third thing. The fourth thing is to sit in the company of worshippers who have dedicated their life to worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. If we sit in the company of worshippers, so then we will get motivation, and that is a very natural thing, because the people get inspired by looking at other people. Whatever they look in other people, so they get inspired in the same thing. Particularly if we look at children who are worshippers and who are very punctual in offering five time prayers, so we will feel some shyness in our heart. This child is offering five time prayers, this child is offering 20 tarawih, this child is reciting the Holy Quran 2 para, 3 para daily, and I am a man and I am unable to do that. What a shameful thing for me. So we get inspired by other people. So that's why if we sit in the company of pious people and the worshipper, so then we will get motivation from them. And the another thing is, if we read about paradise, about the blessings of paradise, about the favors which we will be provided in paradise, so then we will get a lot of motivation, because paradise is very close to our nature, because we are bound to convenience and comforts and blessings and favors. So when we read the verses of the Holy Quran regarding paradise, what are the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal in paradise? For example, مَثَلْ جَنَّةِ الَّذِي وَعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ فِيهَا أَنْهَارٌ مِّن مَّاءٍ غَيْرِ آسِنٍ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن لَّبَنٍ لَّمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُهُ. They are rivers of water and honey and milk and other bounties, the gardens of paradise, the blessings of paradise. So when we recite the Holy Quran and when we read these favors of paradise, so that time we get a lot of motivation. So if we look at these favors and blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, so it would be very useful for us, and it will make worships very easy for us and free from any difficulty and any hardship.
Mufti Sahib, whenever I read the biographies of awliya and ulama, they used to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. They were able to remain awake for entire night. When they are reading Quran, they are reading para after para. When they are sitting for remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, they are sitting for countless hours. One thing is, you know, very prominent and very different, which we don't have, we lack that thing, that is the spiritual delight and enjoyment. Their namaz is some sort of enjoyment and spiritual delight for them, and we are unable to find that spiritual delight. So my question is, Mufti Sahib, how can we attain that type of enjoyment or spiritual delight that we feel like fish in water? So how can we attain that thing?
Basically, we are sick people, so that is our condition regarding worships. That's why the pious people, as prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal, as friends of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the companions of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they converted their worships in enjoyment. So they enjoyed with worships, and because of their love with Allah Azza wa Jal, because of their love with worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, and because of their inclination towards paradise, and because of the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to prevent themselves, to save themselves from the hellfire. So due to these reasons, those pious predecessors, so they enjoyed worships. For example, as we have read in the biography of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what was the condition of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam regarding prayer? جُعِلَتْ قُدْرَةُ عَيْنِي بِالصَّلَىٰ. The coolness of my eyes is in prayer. It means, when Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam offered prayer, so he used to feel some coolness. Why? Because he loves offering prayer. He loves worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. And that was the sign of the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because when a person loves Allah Azza wa Jal, he loves his worshipping as well. And in another hadith, it has been mentioned, at night Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to offer prayer sometime the whole night. In one rak'ah, he recited the whole Surah Baqarah. In another rakah, he recited Surah Al Imran. In another rakah, he recited Suratul Nisa. So in four rakahs, he recited four biggest surah of the Holy Quran. So how did he recite that? Because he loved the recitation of the Holy Quran. He loved standing in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal for offering prayer. And he loved worshipping of Allah Azza wa Jal because of the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. And similarly, there are many other stories regarding Sahaba Ikram. As in one sisla, you have mentioned one story regarding one Sahabi. Two Sahabi, one was offering prayer, another was sleeping. So one Sahabi was offering prayer, and during that he was completing one surah. And during that, one arrow penetrated his body, then the another one, then the third one. Then he completed his prayer and he awakened other Sahabi. So what did he say that time? I didn't like to complete my prayer without completing Suratul Kahf. I like to complete Suratul Kahf first, then I would complete this prayer. But because the blood was flowing, that's why I finished my prayer, so that I shouldn't become negligent in the duty which was appointed to me from the Holy Prophet ﷺ. For that purpose, he remained busy in offering prayer. And what was his love with offering prayer? What was his love with the recitation of Suratul Kahf? And there are many other stories regarding other Tabi'in and other pious predecessors, friends of Allah Azza wa Jal. They started offering prayer, and the fire was lit in their house.
Jee.
And the whole house was put on fire, but they were offering prayer. After completing prayer, they said, so what was happening around me?
Subhanallah.
That was their condition, because that time they considered themselves in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they were speaking to Allah Azza wa Jal. Because when a person is offering prayer and he is reciting the word Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen till the end, and he is reciting some tasbihat and attahiyat and other recitations, so when he recites those Quran and tasbihat, that time he is speaking to Allah Azza wa Jal. He is speaking to Allah Azza wa Jal. So when he is speaking to Allah Azza wa Jal, so what can he think about his surroundings? So this love, we can develop that love in ourselves. If we try to read the biographies of these people, if we try to read the excellences and the rewards of worships.
Subhanallah, very beautiful. Dear viewers of Madri channel, it means the real spiritual delight, the real enjoyment in ibadat and worship of Allah Azza wa Jal comes when we have love for Allah Azza wa Jal. And it is love for Allah Azza wa Jal which will really make us oblivious of everything other than Allah. It is the real love for Allah Azza wa Jal which will create some sort of attraction for us in ibadat, and we will be able to worship Allah Azza wa Jal and remain busy in His worship every time. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold.